Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantaraj, Srila Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj, Maharaj ki, Nitai Gopreman ki. So what did we discuss in our last Bhakti Vedanta class? We have to keep that closed. Let's get the door closed. Keep it unlocked. But just... What is chapter 1 called?
The advent of Lord Krishna.
So in the beginning of chapter 1 you hear about the potency of hearing about Vasudeva Prasad. But then we hear how Mother Bhumi approaches Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma takes the demigods to Shiradakshaya Vishnu. Shiradakshaya Vishnu, he then instructs Lord Brahma in the heart that all the demigods can appear on earth in order to assist the Lord in his pastimes. Then, at the end of chapter 1, Kamsa is taking Devaki on the chariot and he hears the omen. And then when that comes from the sky, then he wants to kill Devaki. And in the beginning of chapter 2, he imprisons Devaki and Vasudeva because Vasudeva promises he will give the children. But then Kamsa is confused by Narada that you don't know which child will be the eighth child. So then he starts killing all the children. So then he kills the first six children, who are the...
six senses?
Yeah, they allegorically they represent that.
Yeah.
But they're actual personalities who were cursed in order to... They're the sons of Marichi. They were cursed to take birth in that particular... And they're also allegorical. Yeah, they represent the six impurities. And then we hear that the demigods, they enter into the dungeon of Vasudeva and Devaki in Kamsa's palace, and they begin to offer prayers that the Lord will appear. So chapter 2 is called Prayers by the Demigods to the Lord within the world. Tonight we begin chapter 3. So what is chapter 3? So now Krishna actually appears. So extremely auspicious day to begin the pastime of hearing. Anyone have any other points from what we've discussed? Any other points? Okay, so we'll begin the third chapter. We'll go from verses 1 to 14. The birth of Lord Krishna. Thereafter, at the auspicious time for the appearance of the Lord, the entire universe was surcharged with all the qualities of goodness, beauty, and peace. The constellation Rohini appeared, as did the stars, like Ashwini. The sun, the moon, and the other stars and planets were very peaceful. All directions appeared extremely pleasing, and the beautiful stars twinkled in the cloudless sky. decorated with towns, villages, mines, and pasturing grounds. The earth seemed all auspicious. The rivers flowed with clear water, and the lakes and vast reservoirs, full of lilies and lotuses, were extraordinarily beautiful. In the trees and green plants, full of flowers and leaves, pleasing to the eyes, birds like cuckoos and swarms of bees began chanting with sweet voices for the sake of the demigods. A pure breeze began to blow, pleasing the senses of touch and bearing the aroma of flowers. And when the Brahmanas, engaging in ritualistic ceremonies, ignited their fires, according to Vedic principles, the fires burned steadily, undisturbed by the breeze. Thus, when the birthless Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to appear, the saints and Brahmanas, who had always been disturbed by demons like Kamsa and his men, felt peace within the core of their hearts, and kettle drums simultaneously vibrated from the upper planetary system. And you are too late. You did it before. I told you last time, do not do like that.
As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his appearance, birth, and activities are all transcendental, and that one who factually understands them is immediately eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord's appearance or birth is not like that of an ordinary man, who is forced to accept the material body according to his past deeds. The Lord's appearance is explained in the previous chapter. He appears out of his own sweet pleasure.
So what is there in the first paragraph? What does that mean?
That his birth and identity are extraordinarily beautiful.
Divya. What does divya mean?
Transcendental.
What else does it mean?
Divya. Auspicious.
Auspicious. What else does it mean?
Beautiful.
Divya.
Unique.
Unique, yeah. What else does it mean? Divya. Divya means like divine, like glowing, like the demigods, Deva. Deva means like someone who is glowing, like effulgent. So when you see a demigod, the demigods are effulgent. Just like when Kunti, she called Surya to come. And then Surya came through the window and he was effulgent. So this is the nature of the devatas. And divya means like, it means like effulgent or divine or beautiful. Naturally. So Krishna, his pastimes are divya. Jamakama chame divyam. Which means they're effulgent. So Krishna says in the Gita, jama. Jama means his appearance. This is what we're hearing about now. So it is effulgent divine. It's not like an ordinary person. When all of us are born, it is not like that. And when Krishna is born, it is completely different. It is effulgent, transcendental. That's also the meaning of divya. Right? So Krishna's pastime is not ordinary. Prabhupada is saying in the first book that Krishna's pastimes are sweet. So he's appearing by his sweet will. This is just to develop sweetness. And it's interesting because I'm reading the Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Who wrote the Ananda Vrindavan Champu? Gopal Bhatta Goswami did not. No, he didn't write that. It is Kavi Kanapur. So Kavi Kanapur was a great follower, an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He sucked, when he was a baby, he sucked on Lord Chaitanya's big toe. So because he sucked on Lord Chaitanya's toe, he was empowered with sweetness to understand the pastimes of the Lord. So when Kavi Kanapur writes, in his writing, when he describes the pastime of Krishna appearing in Mathura, he takes it straight to Vrindavan. Because the devotees of Krishna, of Radha Krishna, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we are specifically interested in hearing about Krishna in Vrindavan. So right at this moment, as Krishna is appearing in Mathura, simultaneously he's appearing in Vrindavan, in his original sweet form. This is the expanded form, Vasudeva Krishna, who is appearing here. So Krishna's pastimes are full of sweetness. And why does he come? To inundate us with sweetness. So we should take advantage of this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to study the 10th canto like this. We can read the books. We've been reading Prabhupada's books for years. But when you study it, you enter the pastimes on a different level. You enter the Bhagavatam on a different level. So we take advantage of this now. And if you study it seriously, you will get reciprocation from the Lord. And the Lord will reveal his sweetness to you. And it's a very auspicious time to do this, because in Mayapur, many of the devotees are doing Navadvip Mandal Parikrama as we speak. And it's an incredibly auspicious time. And it's very auspicious that we're beginning this advent of Lord Krishna now, the birth of Lord Krishna. It's extremely auspicious. So if we take advantage of it, Krishna will manifest within our consciousness, within our heart. So Prabhupada is saying he's not ordinary. Because he manifests and he's effulgent immediately. So Vasudeva and Devaki are realizing this is the Lord himself. But they have a desire that he will become the son. And he says this to them. He says, previously you were Sutapa and Prishni, and you had this desire. So you've taken different births to attain this position. Just like Prabhupada had some of Prabhupada's first servants, Gaurasundara and Govinda Dasi. So they were Prabhupada's personal servants. So when they were serving Prabhupada, some of the god brothers and god sisters, Prabhupada's other disciples, they became a little envious. Do you sometimes become envious of your god brothers and god sisters? If they get more association with the guru than you, and sometimes you become a bit envious, isn't it? You ever feel that in your heart? Or are you all pure Vaishnavas? No, you're envious. So sometimes, the other god brother god sister, we feel in our heart, why aren't I with the guru? Why do they get more attention than you? Why do they get more intimate association opportunity? So Gaurasundara Prabhu and Govinda Dasi, they were Prabhupada's personal servants. So some of the other devotees, they said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, they get so much of your association more than us. Prabhupada said they've been doing austerities for lifetimes to get this position. They didn't just arrive. Like Prabhupada said, for lifetimes they did austerity to get this position. So these aren't like ordinary devotees. So Vasudeva and Devaki, they did austerities for lifetimes to get this position, that the Lord would appear as their son right in front of them. I mean, Vasudeva and Devaki are also eternal associates of the Lord. But there's a Krishna and Sutapa have entered into that form. We've explained this in the last few weeks. So there's more than one personality in the form accepting the worship. There's the Sadhaka and there's the Siddha. And there's the eternal associate, and then there's also the Sadhaka, so we're also entering to take advantage. Any points? So read paragraph number 2. Yogeshwara.
When the time was mature for the appearance of the Lord, the constellation became very auspicious. The astrological influence of the constellation, known as Rohini, was also predominantly the constellation is considered very auspicious. Rohini is under the direct supervision of Brahma, who is born of Vishnu. And it appears at the birth of Lord Vishnu, who is in fact birthless. According to the astrological conclusion, besides the proper situation of stars, there are auspicious and inauspicious moments due to different situations of different planetary systems. At the time of Krishna's birth, the planetary systems were automatically adjusted so that everything became auspicious.
Any points there?
So astrological predictions are not based upon what Krishna can change anything what he wants if he wants to, or devotees as well as for his appearance to as well.
Yeah. Anything else?
So Rohini is the expansion of Lord Vishnu.
Rohini, the star, is one of the constellations in the sky.
Is that the expression of the
It's under the control of Lord Brahma, who Prabhupada says is an expansion of Vishnu. He's the guna avatars. So it's one of the auspicious constellations. Some of the stars are not auspicious and some are auspicious. The Rohini is auspicious. Any other point?
So who's born of Vishnu? So.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into it more than that.
Okay.
But he's a guna avatar, Lord Brahma. So. Any other point? So, the astrology, we have to look at that when we begin the auspicious activities. Because if you're a conditioned soul, these things can be favorable. Just like today, Chanchala Lakshmi and Muchukunda Prabhu, they got married. So, there was auspicious constellation. It was recommended to them, get married on this day, at this particular time, because it will become auspicious. It gives you assistance, because you are conditioned soul. We're under the modes of material nature. So when we follow the astrology, then it can assist. Like if we know there's a favorable time or an auspicious time, and you begin the event at that time, then it assists you like that. So we should, important events, then we should plan according to those kind of things. However, if you are a pure devotee, you may be less concerned with these things. Because understanding the nature of Krishna's mercy, then Prabhupada, he generally didn't do things according to astrology. Because he was a pure devotee, he invoked Krishna's presence, and then he would do things automatically. He wasn't checking all the time. Although, interestingly, on Thursday afternoon, which is the Rahu Kal, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj would not begin trips, and Prabhupada himself, he tried to postpone a meeting with Indira Gandhi, because he was to meet with Indira Gandhi on a Thursday afternoon. He said, no, change the meeting, it's not an auspicious time. So even Prabhupada, as a pure devotee, he was taking notice of these things. But what is the most auspicious factor in any situation is Krishna's presence. So if you're with the deity, and if you're chanting the holy name, that creates an auspicious atmosphere. Even during the most inauspicious times, if we fully absorb ourselves in chanting the holy name, in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, in worshipping the deity, being in a holy place, it counteracts all the inauspiciousness. Just like if there's an eclipse is considered to be inauspicious. Just like I think a few days back there was an eclipse. But not considered an auspicious time. But if you are absorbed in hearing and chanting at that time, everything becomes supremely auspicious. But by Krishna's presence. So when Krishna is present, everything becomes auspicious. So you see, when Lord Chaitanya appeared, all the devotees, they absorbed themselves in hearing and chanting. When Lord Chaitanya appeared, everyone went into the Ganga, and they were just chanting the holy name. And by that chanting, everything lifted. Something which considered to be materially inauspicious became extremely auspicious. So when Krishna is present, everything becomes supremely auspicious. This is the most auspicious. But because we're conditioned, then we have to take some notice of the astrological periods and those kind of things. So, any points?
I've noticed that mostly they have that's why they are there.
Yeah, it said that everything, the chart at the time of Krishna's birth was very auspicious. Same as Lord Chaitanya. Because when Lord Chaitanya appeared, the moon was being eclipsed. So what does the moon represent? The mind. And what happens when the moon is eclipsed? If someone's born during an eclipse, what does that mean? It means the mind could be very disturbed. So you see, Lord Chaitanya, his mind was very disturbed in transcendental ecstasy and separation from Krishna. So it is in his chart. It says the mind will be disturbed, not materially, but spiritually. He was always feeling such separation from Krishna. And his pastimes in Jagannath Puri, he was mad. So it was seen in his chart, these things were seen. Any points?
Just a comment. Here it's also auspicious. But in contrast, when demons are about to appear, it's all inauspicious. Like in the case of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, everything was so inauspicious.
So we'll see what happens next year when the American president gets elected. We'll have a look at the stars. Because it's not looking very good at the moment. Yeah, it's already, the place is already starting to go crazy over there. I saw some news clips today. Because the guys are, one guy in particular is very auspicious, already causing problems in the whole place. So if this particular guy gets in, if Trump gets in, then it really could cause some problems. Because it's already causing some real problems, some upset up here. Because the person is not auspicious. It's not auspicious. So if that person gets in, it will be inauspicious. We'll see what the astrology looks like at the time of the election. Okay. So read the next paragraph. Sri Chaitanya.
At that time, in all directions, east, west, south, north, everywhere, there was an atmosphere of peace and prosperity. Auspicious stars were visible in the sky, and on the surface, in all towns and villages, or pasturing grounds, and within the minds of everyone, there were signs of good fortune. The rivers were flowing full of water, and the lakes were beautifully decorated with lotus flowers. The forests were full with beautiful birds and peacocks. All the birds within the forest began to sing with sweet voices, and the peacocks began to dance with their consorts. The wind blew very pleasantly, carrying the aroma of different flowers, and the sensation of bodily touch was very pleasing. At home, the Brahmanas, who were accustomed to offer sacrifices in the fire, found their homes very pleasant for offerings. Because of disturbances created by the demoniac kings, the sacrificial fire had been almost stopped in the houses of the Brahmanas, but now they could find the opportunity to start the fire peacefully. Being forbidden to offer sacrifices, the Brahmanas were very distressed in mind, intelligence and activities. But just on the point of Krishna's appearance, automatically their minds become full of joy because they could hear loud vibrations in the sky of transcendental sounds proclaiming the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm. What are the points there? Anything else?
One of the characteristics of Bhakti is Kleshagni and Subhada. So we see as soon as Krishna was appearing, like there was automatically the mood of Bhakti in the hearts of all the pious people. And so everything became auspicious.
Hmm. Yes, nice. Anything else? So, when Krishna is there, things become naturally peaceful. Prabhupada made this comment that when you enter a temple, an ISKCON temple, Prabhupada said it is like Satya Yuga. So when you come to the Melbourne temple, it's like Satya Yuga. You go to Hare Krishna Valley, it's like Satya Yuga. So these places, they develop a peaceful atmosphere. And we have to maintain, as our duty as Vaishnavas or devotees, or aspiring devotees, to create an auspicious atmosphere within the temple. Now, how does the atmosphere become auspicious? Where everyone is hearing and chanting about Krishna. If the devotees are speaking prajalpa or materialistic topics, it doesn't create an auspicious atmosphere. The temple is not meant for that. The temple is meant that when you come, devotees are hearing and they're chanting about Krishna. And by that sound vibration, everything becomes purified. So you see, when Krishna appeared, everything was very peaceful. Everything was auspicious. And it feels like that for devotees. Even though things around us can be a turmoil, you can see like in Melbourne can be a turmoil, and soon we'll have the auspicious occasion of the Grand Prix. they create turmoil, they create like inauspicious activities. But here it always feels auspicious. It feels like a shelter. It feels like Prabhupada says, when you enter into the temple, it feels like a Vaikuntha atmosphere. So it feels like there is no anxiety. Because why? Because we're close to Krishna. The deity is there. The holy name is there. The Srimad Bhagavatam has been spoken. the devotees are becoming exalted in consciousness. So it becomes a tirtha, a holy place. So that is the potency, and when the Lord appears, everything becomes completely peaceful. So also you see here that there's that kind of atmosphere is being replicated. So wherever Krishna is, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andaka, wherever Krishna is, then Maya is distant. So that is Krishna's potency. He is like the sun, and when the sun is present, everything becomes purified, pavitra. That is the nature of the sun's potency. So by Krishna's potency, everything becomes auspicious and very peaceful. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you cannot attain happiness without peace. You need peace of mind. And peace of mind is very difficult to get in Kali Yuga. It's just not peaceful. If you want to be unpeaceful, you don't even have to do so much. You just live in Kali Yuga. That's the way it is. It's not peaceful. But that is not the goal. But it is a prerequisite to practice Krishna consciousness. You have to be peaceful. At least some of the time. A lot of the time, it's hard to be peaceful. Prabhupada himself said many times that he was not peaceful. One time, Tamal Krishnamurti came to Prabhupada and he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I've got so much anxiety. I'm thinking about the lawsuits, the court cases, fighting for the Jubilee land, for the municipality bylaws. He said, I'm chanting about japa, but I'm just thinking of bylaws. And Prabhupada said, I might have. He said, I'm chanting my japa, but it's all stuff going through their head. So sometimes it's not peaceful. Because you're doing it for Krishna, then you become purified. But we can't live like that all the time. We have to become peaceful. It's like when Prabhupada was traveling around the world, and then he came back to Mayapur, and Shruti Kirti says that when he goes to Mayapur, then when Prabhupada arrived, and Prabhupada said, now this is so peaceful. So I can just sit here in Mayapur, and he said, everything is just peaceful. Just the wind is blowing very softly, very cool breeze. The weather is very beautiful. There are palm trees everywhere. And he said, this is like Vaikuntha. So we need that. And Prabhupada was like that. You see the picture of Prabhupada that we always worship? That's Prabhupada sitting on the lawn at Bhakti Vedanta Manor. And you see the video. There's a video where Prabhupada sits there. So in the afternoon, Prabhupada would go out every afternoon and just sit there on the grass. And he would just talk to Shama Sundara Prabhu and chant his japa. And he would just, relax and be peaceful. So we need that. We need a balance in our life. We can't be in anxiety all the time. Although this time it is hard because there's so much to do. There's always service. So hard to be peaceful. You have to take some time out once in a while just to be peaceful. Krishna consciousness should be peaceful. Any points?
It shows that Mother Nature, how she's reciprocating, it indicates the fact that she is the subordinate which is making everything auspicious and beautiful just before the arrival of Lord Krishna.
Because everything has the mood of service. So the earth wants to serve Krishna, so she makes everything abundant. There's full of fruits and flowers, everything becomes, and the oceans become very peaceful, the rivers become clear and full of water. All the stars in the sky, in order to serve Krishna, they become very auspicious in alignment. That's everything becomes auspicious by Krishna's appearance. So we should also, like as Prabhupada explained in the previous paragraph, we should also look for those auspicious times. Things should be auspicious around us. Look for the auspicious, and then that's where we begin with Krishna's blessings. Remembering Krishna, we take advantage of auspicious situations and we begin activities in our devotional service.
Sorry, as much as you say this, in Prabhupada's lecture, I've heard that Krishna's life wasn't easy. He had to fight so many demons all the time.
Krishna's life was easy. Prabhupada never says Krishna's life was not easy. The demons were not any problem for Krishna.
Prabhupada explained saying that he was also fighting demons all the time. It wasn't hard, which is understandable.
Yeah, because that's...
talk about auspiciousness thing on the other, and he's also fighting demons.
Yeah, because that's the material world. Right? If you want peacefulness, you have to go to the spiritual world, because there's no demons there. That's one of the differences between here and there. There's no demons there. But down here, then you have to put up with it. You chose to come here, right? So then you have to put up with it. There's demons everywhere.
So I think all the auspicious movements which were created at that time, they gave so much of power to Krishna, and that's why he was appeared on earth. And with that power, because of that auspicious time, he fought against all the demons. He got the power against all the demons.
It's not that Krishna got the power.
Like he himself is the power.
Yeah. No, he is the power.
Yeah, he is the power.
All those things, it's like when the king comes, all of the ministers and all the citizens come to bow to the king. You see, like when Pandu in the Mahabharata, Pandu came back into the kingdom after he went out, traveled around, conquered the whole kingdom. Then when Pandu came back in, everyone came to see him. So because Krishna's appearing, all the demigods, all the planets, they're all lining up to see him. He is the power. It's not they're giving him power, but he is the power. And they're just coming subordinately, they're just coming like that. But they're making everything auspicious. It's like when a great person comes to your home, you clean everything, right? Your Radha Swami is coming to Australia soon, right? So say if he comes to your house, what will you do? You'll vacuum the floor, right? You'll get everything ready. You'll make everything clean. Radha Swami is coming to Sydney soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't know what else he's doing yet, but he's coming. So, you know, if a great soul is coming to your home, you get everything ready. So because Krishna's appearing, the earth is getting everything ready. The Lord's here, so make everything peaceful, clean, auspicious for the Lord's bidding. No, the whole universe is lining up in preparation for his appearance.
Good. Actually, fighting with the demons is basically just the leela, which is what one of the Maharajas was saying. Before Krishna came, actually, there were no problems. The Vrajavasis were actually enjoying themselves. There were no demons, nothing. As soon as Krishna came, all the demons came. And just to show that how his prowess, basically, to show that how powerful he is, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
It did. Maybe the Vrajavasis, maybe they weren't coming into Vrindavan at that time, but the first chapter says the demigods and Bhumi, she goes to Ram because there were too many demons. Maybe Vrindavan itself was maybe peaceful, but everywhere else was not peaceful. But then when Krishna went there, then Kamsa, because he knew he was there, he started sending the demons into Vrindavan itself to destroy. Anything else? Yes?
Actually,
I thought Krishna wanted to enjoy the chivalry and wanted to show to the devotees that he's very powerful. And that's why he wanted to share Karma. Yeah, well, he's showing his power by killing these demons, showing how powerful he is.
Lord Krishna says that whenever there are difficulties, whenever there are problems, and whenever my devotees are in danger or in trouble, I create my form and I come on earth to save them. So I think that's why Lord Krishna appeared, and he doesn't have to show anybody that he, everybody knows that yes, he is the supreme power. He doesn't have to show off that yes, I'm the power, I'm the power.
And it just makes it more exciting when you read the books, that's all. It's, it gives us pleasure to hear. But, I mean, if we read the Bhagavatam, and it says that, you know, Krishna just went out picking flowers, and, you know, people are going to listen. But when it says he's killing Banasura, the Vishnusura, Keshi, and everyone's so many. Prabhupada says the same thing with the battle of Kurukshetra. You know, if Krishna, if he spoke the Bhagavad Gita just before the battle, so everyone's attention is capture it, because people are attracted to, you know, it's like if you go and see any Bollywood movie, unless there's a fight and everything, everyone falls asleep. That's why they have fights, that's why they have adventure and all these things, because then it becomes exciting, everyone wants to see it. That's why we paid money to go to the movies. You want to see a fight, you want to see the adventure, you want to see all these things. Yeah. If those things aren't there, then it becomes boring. So Krishna does this just to attract everyone, to keep everyone awake. It's like if you're giving class these days, unless you tell some pastimes or stories, everyone falls asleep. If you just go philosophy, then you know everyone just kind of like drifts off. But if you start telling all the pastimes, everyone suddenly wakes up. Someone else had a point?
Yeah, actually, Bhakti Purushottam Swami Maharaj says in their lecture that all the Brajavasis were peaceful before, and as soon as Krishna came to Vrindavan, and all the demons started coming because that way they took shelter of Krishna and they came closer to Krishna because in all these pastimes. All the gopas, but whenever Bakasura, they used to come, they used to run to Krishna and say, it was a sweet, loving exchange between Gopa and Krishna. So that was the mood, that was the Bhakti Purushottama Maharaj.
It's intensifying relationships.
Yes.
When someone's in danger, we'll see this as we study through. You see, when Krishna fights with Kaliya, right, it increases the rasas to the highest levels. Because when Mother Yashoda sees Krishna is fighting with Kaliya, she begets like the highest level of pain in her heart is experienced, like the greatest fear that her boy is being attacked by a demon. So it just increases the emotions to the highest level. And then afterwards, when Krishna defeats the demon, then their emotions come back down, but then their attachment is so much stronger. So Krishna is just churning the rust. That's why Krishna does everything he does. He's just constantly churning, just to make everything more sweet. And it's like that. If anyone here from India? India's like that. Everything's got to be like a, everything's got to be like a drama. I go to Indian people's households, everything's a drama. It's like, it's just like, man, there's nothing even going on. Everyone's just going to make it, like some of my friends, they're Bengali, so I go to Mayapur, I go to their place for lunch. It's like a whole drama. They might just go like, the vegetables were late, and then I had to cook, and I'm angry today, so then the food tastes really good, and that's like a whole drama. And I'm just going over there to have some Darwin subject, but it's a whole drama. So Krishna does like that. He just makes everything like, That's why Krishna is born in India. Because Krishna himself is like that. He likes drama. Yeah, so where's the best place to get drama? You go to India. Because everything's like it's a big drama. In Australia, it's quite boring. Australians are just like, we just walk down the street. But you walk down the street in India, it's like a whole, dramatic scene. You don't know if you're going to live. Walking down the street, you don't know if you can cross the road, if you're going to still be alive. So the whole thing like a whole drama. Australia is quite boring. So Krishna is not going to appear in Australia because there's no rasa. But in India, it's like a whole. That's what, because Krishna himself is the source of that. He's Rasa Raj. So he's the one who excites the whole thing. So the whole thing with the killing the demons is just to make it all more dramatic. Just to make it increase everyone's love, their ecstasy, their emotions, their feelings, like that. He knows, like, when he's fighting with Kaliya, Balaram isn't in any anxiety whatsoever, because Balaram's supreme. So Balaram's walking up and down, Balaram's smiling, he's just saying, there's no problem, just everyone relax, but everyone's just losing their minds in the whole pastime. About Balaram, so there's no problem, he's okay. But everyone else, Krishna's just raising the, churning the emotions.
He's called Natwar.
Cool.
Natwar.
Yeah. Nataraj. Lord of Dance. The Kinnaras and Gandharvas began to sing auspicious songs. The Siddhas and Charanas offered auspicious prayers. And the Vijadharis, along with the Apsaras, began to dance in jubilation. The demigods, and great saintly persons showered flowers in a joyous mood. The clouds gathered in the sky and very mildly thundered, making sounds like those of the ocean's waves. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon, because Devaki was of the same category as Sri Krishna. Jamuna, you want to read? Read the first paragraph.
Stated in the Dhamma Samhita 5.27, Ananda Chinmayasa Pratibhavitati, Skadi Deva Nijari Pratyaya Kalani, Bolo Kaiva Nivasati Akilatma Kuntu, Bolo Namami Chavishan Kamahum Kyanam. This verse indicates that Krishna and his entourage are of the same spiritual potency, Ananda Chinmayasa. Krishna's father, his mother, his friends, the cowherd boys and the cows are all expansions of Krishna, as will be explained in the Dhamma Vimohan Lila. When Brahma took out Krishna's associates to test the supremacy of Lord Krishna, the Lord expanded himself again in the forms of many cowherd boys and calves, all of whom, as Brahma saw, were Vishnu movements. Devaki is also an expansion of Krishna, and therefore this verse says, Devakyam Devakyam Vishnu Sarva Guha Sanya.
So what are the points there?
Nothing is separate from
him. No?
I cannot understand this. How can we establish that nothing is separate? We are not quite different from humans.
What's your point?
The point is we are different from him as well. So we cannot say that nothing.
Why? Because Prabhupada is saying that Devaki is not different from him. What's your point? What's the confusion?
How can we understand this?
What?
That, yes, eternal associates are is probably, I don't know, that's what Prabhupada is explaining here. His eternal associates are the expansions of Krishna. But as far as we are concerned here, we are different.
It means one and different. Everything is Krishna. Everything. That Mridanga is Krishna. Right, the Mridanga is called Balaram Mridanga. Right, because it is non-different from Balaram. Balaram is non-different from Krishna. So in one sense, everything is Krishna. Including us. We are also Krishna. So we are different from Krishna. So we are one and different. The Bhagavad Gita explains that. Lord Chaitanya explains that. That is the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. Dia Chincha, Beda, Beda, Beda. Simultaneous, inconceivable oneness and difference. Prabhupada explains in some lectures, Prabhupada said, Radha and Krishna are one. He says that. But obviously they are also different. Chaitanya Charitamrita also says that Radha and Krishna are one. But they are also different. For pastime they expand. Okay. Prabhupada even says, there's one lecture, if you've listened to many of Prabhupada's lectures, one lecture, and Prabhupada says, I am Krishna. And then everyone, and then he corrects himself. And then everyone laughs. And then he says it again later in the lecture. He says, I am Krishna. And then he corrects himself. Like, you know, for some reason, it's come out like that. But what Prabhupada is explaining is that all of us are part of Krishna, but we are different from Krishna. So we don't exist without the sun, and the sun's rays, they are the same, but they are different. So oneness and difference. So the point that Prabhupada is making here, the Bhagavad Gita is making, is that Krishna always appears with his associates. Because there's no pleasure if he does not come with his associates. And the only people who can associate with him directly are his associates. No one else can directly get Krishna's association. The sadhakas, or those who are becoming purified, they can also get his association and become purified. But they may not get directly the association as much. You'll see as we study through the Bhagavatam that when Krishna performs the pastime of the gopis, then the sadhaka gopis, they cannot directly associate with Krishna. But they hear about Krishna through associating with the Nityasiddha, the perfected souls. So the point is that Krishna will only associate with pure devotees. So if we want to associate with Krishna, we have to become pure. you have to become qualified. And I was listening on the way up here, I was listening to Burujan Prabhu speak on the passing of the Bhagavatam. And he was making this point that there is that verse, Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu, Nicham Bhagavata Seva. So Nicham Bhagavata Seva, Bhagavat, and Prabhupada says there are two types of Bhagavats. So there's the book and there is the personalities. And Prabhupada says that you will become, you will develop the qualities of the people that you associate with. So by associating with the Bhagavatam, means, and this is what we're doing, we're studying the Bhagavatam. We're associating the personalities in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is no different from Krishna. Prabhupada said you can get all the benefit of Krishna's association from studying the Bhagavatam. And by associating devotees who have pure qualities, advanced Vaishnavas, then you will gradually develop their qualities. And we have to have purified qualities to attract Krishna to us so that we can associate with Krishna. If your qualities are not attractive, Krishna will not want to associate with you. So Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur says, don't try to associate with Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will want to associate with you. So that is what the Bhagavatam is meant to be developing in us, that qualification, adhika, so that we can associate with Krishna. Because Devaki and Vasudev, they can associate with him. Why? Because they're purified. Krishna is attracted to them, so attracted, he took birth in their association. He became their children, because they had so much bhav or devotion. So Krishna only associates with his associates. And how do you become an associate? You become purified. Right? In one sense, it's not difficult. If you say, I want to be Krishna's associate, just become a pure devotee. Right? But then that may be difficult because we're still identifying with the material energy. But if we follow the process strictly, then we can actually attain that level of realization. Any points?
Srila Prabhupada also said we inherit that Sarvatam could have Krishna from the Sarvatam. And so if you hear Krishna could have the devotion, then you would be very different from the Sarvatam. And you would be happy.
That's why I come to the class. That's why I come here, because I'm purified. The Bhagavatam is the purification. So, any points? Okay. So then Prabhupada explains, as the purport goes on, that Krishna is like the moon. We'll read the third paragraph because it's a very nice description. So, Jumunajivan, you read the third paragraph.
When things are adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who appeared as one of the demigoddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared to the rising of the full moon in the sky on the eastern horizon. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty, which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of Lord's appearance in the dynasty, wherein the moon is himself the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition. So by the grace of Krishna, he would appear as a full moon. To welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the waning moon became a full moon in jubilation.
For the points there?
So, Lord Krishna appeared in the Chandra Vamsha.
Service attitude. The service attitude and the love towards Krishna is...
Yeah, because Krishna is soothing. That's why he's called Krishna Chandra. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan Ki. Krishna is like the moon. What is the moon like? When the moon is full, it is soothing. Full moons are very auspicious. And even though it was Ashtami, the day that Krishna appeared, Janmashtami, it was Ashtami. The moon was full in jubilation. And Krishna is like that. Right? When Krishna, when we associate with Krishna, we feel that soothing nature. Right? Just like the nature of Kali Yuga is that everything is always disturbed. First canto says, people are unfortunate, unlucky, short-lived. It gives all the list of all the problems. And it says, and above all, they are always disturbed. So the nature of Kali Yuga is that people are always disturbed. And in Kali Yuga, unless somehow you can make an arrangement where you don't have to associate with anyone, practically every time you walk out your door, you have to associate with everyone, and they're very disturbed. And then that affects you. So then you have to take shelter of Krishna to get that soothing energy. And that's what I do. Because we have to take shelter of Krishna. And how do I take it? By studying the Bhagavatam. Just like my family, they're nice people, I love them. I have a good family material unit. But they're always arguing with each other. And they try to drag me into it constantly. There's this problem, there's that problem. Like that. So really I'm at a point now, I just don't want to get involved and I'm not interested. Because I'm studying the Bhagavatam and I'm finding shelter in this. So I just try to keep a distance as much as I can and take refuge in Krishna. And when you associate with Krishna, everything becomes cooling and soothing. If someone's an auspicious personality, in their presence, you will feel cooled and soothed. Right? If someone is representing Krishna, an advanced Vaishnava who represents Krishna, then in their association, you will feel very cool and soothing. Because Krishna was like that. That's what Prabhupada was like. Because Prabhupada was carrying Krishna in his heart. When you were with Prabhupada, you felt like you were with Krishna. Prabhupada's Virajan Prabhu and the others, they say when they were with Prabhupada, they said, before you're in the room, your mind's disturbed. As soon as you walk in, Prabhupada said, is everything alright? And you're with Prabhupada, so everything was alright. And then when you walked out, everything was the same again. because then you're back in the mature world and you have to deal with your mind. With Prabhupada, there's no problems. Because Prabhupada was with Krishna. So if you're in the association of the great devotee, you feel that soothing. Because the Bhagavatam, that's where it is coming from. Because the Bhagavatam is no different from Krishna. So Krishna is like that. Everything becomes soothed. And if we associate with the Bhagavatam, we associate with Krishna in his deity form, in his holy name, with his representatives in the holy places, the holy dharmas, we'll feel that soothing nature. So we constantly have to get that association. Because Kali Yuga is just crazy. Too difficult. And it could be worse. Next year could be a turning year in Kali Yuga. It could be. In all seriousness. Next year could be, if that guy becomes the president, there's a very strong chance the world could become, it's already problematic, but it could spiral very, very quickly. Some inauspiciousness taking place around the place at the moment. So it's going to happen anyway. If it's Kali Yuga, it's Kali Yuga. But it could be sooner than we think. It could be sooner than we think. So get ready. Next year's a good year, though, because we'll be the part of the Bhagavatam we'll be studying next year is very auspicious. So when everything's falling apart, we will just study the Bible. Even though there won't be any lights here, but we'll just study the Bible. So everyone start buying candles. Keep rice in your cupboard. Won't do all these things. Get ready. Because we don't know what's going to happen. Everyone will be right for us, but the rest of the world, I cannot say what it will be like.
We have no
What is that?
He looks after the devotees.
He looks after his devotees, that's what he says. The demons, they're doing their own. The devotees have all come. Yeah, sometimes he looks after them by killing them. He says that. Vinashaya cha duskritam. He says that in here. If you're duskrita, which means duskrita, then he will vinash. He will kill them. Vasudev then saw the newborn child who had very wonderful lotus-like eyes and who bore in his four hands the four weapons, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, and Padma. On his chest was the mark of Srivatsa, and on his neck the brilliant Kaustubha gem, dressed in yellow, his body blackish like a dense cloud, his scattered hair fully grown, and his helmet and earrings sparkling uncommonly with the valuable gem and Vaidurya. The child, decorated with a brilliant belt, armlets, bangles, and other ornaments, appeared very wonderful. Clear? You like to read that?
To support the word Adbhuta, meaning wonderful. The decoration and the opulence of the newborn child are fully described as confirmed in Brahma Samhita. Bahavatam Samasitam Asya Adbhuta Srivana. The hue of the Lord's beautiful form resembles the blackish color of dense color clouds. Ashita means blackish and Abhuta means cloud. It is clear from the word Chaturbhujam that Krishna first appears with four hands as Lord Vishnu. No ordinary child in human society has ever been born with four hands, and when is a child born with full grown hair, the descent of the Lord therefore is completely distinct from the birth of an ordinary child. The Vaidurya gem, which sometimes appears bluish, sometimes yellow, and sometimes red, is available in Vaikuntha Loka. The Lord's helmet and earring were decorated with a particular gem. Mm.
So, what are the points there?
He came in his original form to show to his parents who he is, and they should not be scared.
Mm. So, what is the name of this incarnation?
Vasudev.
Vasudev means one who is transcendental to the moments of material nature. And one who is situated in Shuddha Sattva, that is Vasudev. The other name of this personality is?
Krishna.
What does Krishna mean? It comes from the word Karshna. Karshna means? Means like to take something forcibly. Karshna means like by force, you attract like that. So when we say Krishna is all attractive, it means he's forcibly all attractive. Now, he's a very powerful personality. Right? So when you see him, he just takes you. He just grabs your attention, just pulls like this. He's a great hero. You know, it's called Nayaka. Nayaka means he's like a great hero. So when he walks in, if he walked in, the reason he's all attractive, if he walked in, you become captivated by him. He forcibly takes you. Let's say he's a hero. That's the nature of a hero. You see that when Krishna takes Rukmini, he just goes in on the chariot. And then everyone's there. I mean, the most powerful, fearful, awe-inspiring warriors on the earth, they're all there. Krishna just goes in without even... Not even caring for them, and just grabs her and just puts her on the chariot and just goes out. I'm taking what I want when I want. Right? That's great. We have to understand Krishna's personality. You have to study the Bhagavatam carefully at this point, because you have to understand Krishna. Krishna is a very forceful personality. He's not a peaceful personality. No? And I've been reading about, for the last 6 months or so, studying Krishna's personality from different writings of the Acharyas. He's not peaceful. Right? Mother Yashoda says this about him. He's not peaceful. Right? Always he's agitated. Because in his eternal pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan, he's 16. If you think back to what you were like when you were 16, you're not peaceful. Right? 16, like your body is full of energy. You know, I see some of the kids of the devotees on Facebook, I see their pictures come up. You know, they're right in their heart of youth, 16, 17, 18. I remember when I was 16, I got so much energy. You just want to do things, you just want to be here, you've got so much energy. That's what Krishna's like, eternally. He's this 16-year-old guy who's just like full of energy, and he just wants to take whatever he wants whenever he wants it. So we have to understand his personality. No? So he has appeared as Krishna. Krishna means one who will forcibly take. So the devotees, they're just offering respect to him because he's so beautiful, so captivating. They're just stunned by him. His senses are overwhelmed by him. That's what he's like. He's overwhelming in his personality. Every attribute of him is overwhelming. So we see here that he is appearing in that form. And just by looking at him, everything about him is so overwhelming. They're just absorbed in him. It says that Vasudeva becomes stunned in the next few verses. He just becomes stunned. He's just looking at Krishna. He's just completely stunned in ecstasy. And his senses become immobilized just by being absorbed in Krishna. He's just so absorbed that he can't even move. There are many descriptions like this. So someone might say, well, these topics are somewhat advanced. But which canto are we studying? 10th canto. So you know, if it's too advanced, then I don't know what to do. But this is what we're dealing with now. So either absorb yourself in it and try to absorb it. You can make a lot of advancement very quickly. I go to these retreats every year for the last 15 years or so in Vrindavan and Satchinandan Swami Burujampuru. And Burujampuru told us a couple of years ago, he said, aim high. Because you've got a chance. You're next to Govardhan Hill. You're with advanced devotees and you're chanting the holy name. Aim high. You might get realizations which are beyond yourself just by aiming. So now we have an opportunity. Yeah, this is advanced, but if we aim high, we may get revelations that we would not get otherwise by Krishna's mercy. So this is extremely, it's amazing. The Lord Himself is appearing. And we need to meditate. I was studying while I was in India last year. I was studying Krishna's form. I was reading about Krishna's form and Radha's form. Right, every detail from the top of their head down to their toes. So all the details. Exactly what sort of jewelry Krishna wears at each point. Now when you meditate, and this is also mentioned in this section, that Vasudeva offered cows in charity. So Prabhupada said, what is that called? Manasa Seva. Right? It's all in the mind. But Prabhupada says in this section, he said, this is as powerful as actually doing it. So when we become more advanced in Krishna consciousness, we have to meditate in the mind on all the details of Krishna's form. And that's part of deity worship, actually. When I worship Giriraj, just like I was worshiping Giriraj the other morning, and when I worship him, then there's a part of the worship where I stop and I just do manasa. Because there's many details that you can go through in the mind. So then you meditate on the form of Krishna. And you meditate on every single detail of his form from what we've read from the Acharya's books. And in this way we become absorbed in our heart and mind and our consciousness of Krishna. And it says that when you become more advanced in chanting, when you chant Hare Krishna, then the Lord's form comes into your mind and you can meditate on the form of the Lord. From nama, rupa, guna, lila. These things, this is the sequence or the sequential elevation of sadhana. So this is 10th canto, this is what it's all about. Right? So you may say it's advanced, but this is 10th canto. This is what we're doing. So we have to study it and understand and take advantage. Because if we take this seriously, we can advance very quickly in devotional service. Any points?
What is the relation between the word Christos and the
Krishna? Karshana. Christos, I think they call it. Christ, or Christos. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada says Christ means the anointed one. Krishna means the all-attractive. So they're related. Those names are related. Jesus Christ and Krishna.
So, Christos, I don't
understand. It's Greek, yeah. Don't worry about it so much. Just chant Hare Krishna. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't even do that properly, so you don't have to worry at all. Okay. Okay. We're on verse 11? Or?
Yes.
When Vasudev saw his extraordinary son, his eyes were struck with wonder. In transcendental jubilation, he mentally collected 10,000 cows and distributed them among the Brahmanas as a transcendental festival. So, Vasudev is seeing the Lord as his son, and Prabhupada explains that the Lord accepts the bhav of the devotee. The bhav means the sentiment. So if you worship Krishna as your son, he will accept that mood. If you worship him as your lover, he will accept that mood. And if you worship him as your friend, he will accept that mood. So it's up to the bhav, which is in the heart of the devotee. So as we become more advanced, we have to... The whole point of chanting, my Guru Maharaj said this many years ago, the whole point of chanting is you're searching out your relationship with Krishna in your heart. Is Krishna my friend, my lover, or my son? That feeling, that's what we're looking for in the chanting. That's advanced, but that's what we're looking for. You know, sooner or later in this lifetime, you have to start understanding these things and developing that mood of a particular servant of Krishna. Or Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of King Bharata, Vasudev could understand that this child was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Having concluded this without a doubt, he became fearless. Bowing down with folded hands and concentrating his attention, he began to offer prayers to the child who illuminated his birthplace by his natural influence. Vasudev said, "My Lord, you are the Supreme Person beyond material existence, and you are the Super Soul. Your form can be perceived by transcendental knowledge, by which you can be understood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I now understand your position perfectly. My Lord, you are the same person who in the beginning created this material world by his personal energy. After the creation of this world of three goodness, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, you appear to have entered it, although in fact you have not." So Prabhupada points out that Vasudeva has mixed devotion. Right? In the dungeon, he sees the Lord in his forearm form and he has awe and reverence, but he is also mixed because he sees the Lord as his son. Whereas in Vrindavan, Nanda and Yashoda, they don't see him as the Supreme Lord. There's no Aishwarya. In Mathura, there's a mixture of Aishwarya and Madhurya. But the Acharyas go straight to Vrindavan. And they say, but in Vrindavan, it is not like that. And we're about to hear about Vrindavan. Because he's about to be transferred to Vrindavan. And factually, at the same time, he's appearing in Vrindavan, simultaneously. Now, in order to understand Krishna as he is, the Acharyas explain the Padini Shakti, the Samvit Shakti, they have to merge. What does Padini mean? Padini means bliss. We say eternality, knowledge and bliss. So eternality is sandini, knowledge is sambit, and padini is bliss. So in order to realize Krishna, you realize Krishna when knowledge and bliss, when they merge together. So that's why Vasudev is seeing Krishna. Why can he see Krishna in front of him? Why can't we see Krishna in front of us? Because the padini, the bliss portion of Krishna's energy, and the samvit, the knowledge portion, have not merged fully yet. We have some bliss, we have some taste in the spiritual service, we have some bliss, we feel happy. But we have to, fan that. You know, when the fire is just like a spark. At the moment, we all just have sparks. We're still in anatta nivritti, we're not very advanced yet. There's a spark there, it's very powerful, but we have to fan it intensely. That desire has to come in the heart to fan that fire. When that begins to go, then Padini and Samvit, they come together, right? And then Krishna manifests in front of you. The only reason we don't see Krishna as he is, we don't have a desire to see him. Right? Prabhupada said, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? 1 moment. So if we have the desire to see Krishna, we will see him, just like Vasudev is seeing him now. But the desire is, we have to fan it, right? Intensely. So this is what this is all about now. Because the material world is about to fall apart. I don't know. The 2000, I don't know what's going to happen next year.
Next year.
Oh, 2017. Oh, sorry. 2016 is okay. But next year, I don't know. It's not auspicious. What I can see it. I can see it. I'm seeing what's happening in the world. It's not auspicious. What's about to manifest is not, it's not auspicious. It's alright, because Kali Yuga is already going to go down, but it might go down very quickly. I don't know. It just makes us become more serious in Krishna consciousness. One time they said to Prabhupada, what will happen if bombs start dropping? What did Prabhupada say? He said, we'll keep chanting. Same for us. It's the same. We'll just chant more seriously. Radhanath Swami said he was on the plane and the plane was landing and the wheels didn't come out of the plane. You know, the wheels come out. Yeah, he was on a plane in India and they were landing and the wheels didn't come out. So they made an announcement. They said, we're going to make an emergency landing. And just the bottom of the... So on the tarmac, they put all the, like, the special, like, rubber mats so the plane could land. And Mara said that was the best jabbery chant in his life. So they had to make an emergency landing like that. But the whole plane was like, oh, you know. So when Krishna does these things, it just makes us more serious. Srila Prabhupada ki.